It's a world problem, and it's not unique, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's not acceptable.
You're listening to For the Love of Health, a podcast about delivering care and creating health, brought to you by Christiana Care. And now, here are your hosts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michael Chesney.
And I'm Megan McGurman. Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Health, brought to you by Christiana Care.
Let's start today with a striking statistic. In a 2006 study of first-year residents, researchers found that 4% met criteria for being burnt out at the start of that first year. That number was 55% by the end of the year.
For the fourth episode of our Toughest Questions in Healthcare series, we're looking at a challenge that has plagued teaching hospitals like Christiana Care for decades. Why are residents burnt out, and what can be done about it?
To examine those questions with us, we're joined today by Dr. Brian Levine, Christiana Care Associate Chief Academic Officer and Designated Institutional Official, and Dr. Andrew Blake, a second-year emergency medicine resident here at Christiana Care.
Andrew and Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
So there's a lot to dive into here, but let's start with the history of residency.
Medical history is fascinating. When you look at the 1800s, where medical schools were really just in their infancy in America, and then over time, people would get sort of these internships or these apprenticeships where you'd finish medical school and then you would follow a practitioner around for sometimes years. And then over in the early 1900s, those practitioners would be focused mostly at hospitals, and the trainees would pretty much live at those hospitals. So they would be residents. And it's fascinating that it's sort of you were there 24/7 for the most part. And then we've watched this evolve into what we have today.
You're an attending physician at this point. Tell us about your experience in residency, which I imagine wasn't in the early 1900s, much later than that. But tell us what it was like for you.
I graduated in 1998, so 20 plus years ago. And to be honest with you, it was similar, but I've watched it grow because I love the fact that I've been core faculty, and then I was an associate program director and then a program director, and now are overseeing all the training programs, watching sort of how we take care of our residents and what it's like to be a resident now versus 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's really remarkable of the changes we've had. Although when I was a resident, you know, obviously I walked to the hospital uphill
both ways.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know, right. But it was similar, but not nearly as in tune to the well-being of the individual. It was put your head down and work and we'll figure it out later, or don't ask that question because you'll look like a wimp if you do. It's almost like a trial by fire in the 1980s and 90s. Now it's a little bit more collaborative, and I think that's a huge win for our residents.
Prior to medical school, prior to residency, I agree. Trial by fire is kind of what we were told. And my experience since starting medical school, since starting residency, it's not quite like that. I'm having a good time. I feel like the program I'm at, the schools I've attended, they care about their students.
Let's play devil's advocate for a minute. Isn't residency supposed to be hard? Don't we want our doctors to be pushed to go through hell to make sure they come out the other side ready to practice medicine without the safety net of other more experienced doctors, the attendings watching them when they're not residents anymore?
Great question. And the answer is sort of. You want the residents to experience all the stressors of being an independent practitioner and caring for patients and running the place while all hell is breaking loose, but you don't want them to be put in a toxic, malignant, beat-up situation that Andrew referred to. He thought he was going to enter in residency, and that's sad that we are sort of training our medical students to think that residency is going to be hell, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and you're going to get beat up, but you're going to like it. I agree. The stress is important because that's what molds your brain and develops you to think under stress, et cetera, but that's going to be there no matter what by the nature of our specialty, of our business, of training, but it doesn't have to surround itself with the hell where you get beat up and then you leave there and never want to come back again, or even worse, get depressed, or even worse, harm yourself, and we've seen that, and it's not a Christiana problem. It's not a Delaware problem. It's a national problem.
A system
problem.
It's a
specialty problem. It's a world problem. And it's not unique. And it's been going on for a long time. And it's not acceptable. You have to find a way to combat that, create the air of openness, and provide resources for people that need it.
We're talking about resident burnout. Clearly, things have improved in the last 20 to 30 years, but the burnout is still there. You know, what makes burnout such a difficult thing to tackle in this space?
You're right. The AMA data that comes out every year shows that the amount of burnout is not decreasing, even with all the wellness and stuff that we're doing. So we're either doing it wrong or something else is going on. And there's a variety of factors here. It's definitely multifactorial. So when you look at where burnout is and why it is such, it's because of the environment we're in. Think about it. You are just learning. It's scary. You're taking care of patients who are either angry, upset, or hurting. And then you have to go in and document on an electronic medical record, which is confusing, frustrating, and complex. Then you're getting a phone call. Then you have to go see a trauma in room 3. Put all that together. That is the grounds of heavy-duty stress. And that doesn't go away. But I think our ability to take stress has changed over the years. We're trying to mitigate that, and hopefully we prepare you for that, but nothing prepares the human sort of soul for getting lambasted with a lot of emotional complexities that's overwhelming. And that's something that's hard to teach and hard to develop.
Going in first year, it was overwhelming. And they always give the analogy of every level you go up, it's like moving from a garden hose to a fire hydrant. And that's not an understatement at all. You know, like you said, environment is huge, if not the biggest thing. I honestly think it is the biggest thing, the environment, the culture of everyone around, whether that's residents, attendings, nurses, you know, custodial staff, everybody. The culture is a huge thing in terms of making it through and you know, bettering yourself every day. And I think, you know, I feel like Christiana, second to none when it comes to that.
I think that's a great point. That's culture, because those stressors of, you know, the place is busy and things coming at you on the fire hose right in your face hasn't changed. But the culture you can control, and you're right, if it's a pleasant environment, people are happy, they enjoy working together, and you're all for the greater good of the patient, I still love coming to work. Even though I walk out of there emotionally and physically exhausted, I think about every patient I saw, but I still enjoyed it.
I've actually spoken with a bunch of my co-residents about our Core A shifts. Core A, for those who don't know, is our like high acuity traumas, strokes, heart attacks, and it can blow up at times. And it's like, you don't have a second to sit down. I have to mentally prepare myself. I say, you know, what am I going to walk into today? And I think all my co-residents would agree. And I come in, sometimes it's not as bad as I, you know, was expecting. Other times it's like, this is the hardest shift I've ever had. But it's always a great experience. It's always good learning. The people around, honestly, in a bad environment, I would be so stressed out. You know, by the end of the day, yeah, I'm exhausted. I am exhausted. When I get home, I knock out. But then the next day, you know, I'm ready for it again. I'm ready to go see my co-residents, my attendings.
And Brian, we're talking about resident burnout. We have an episode from earlier in the podcast series about just healthcare worker burnout in general. But we've chosen to put resident burnout in our toughest questions in healthcare series for a reason. Can you talk to us sort of why? Why did we do that? I mean, we know why we did that, but why do you think we did that?
No, I love that you did that. It was unrecognized for the first 100 years. And now over the past 10 or so years, it's finally being recognized because we know that 2 out of every 5 residents are burned out. And you know what happens after residency? You're an attending. And then if you're burnt and it's an early attending, you may switch careers, you may quit, you may be malignant to your trainees. So if you don't do something now, you're going to ruin the foundation for the next generation of providers. And that would be really sad. And we've noticed it. We've seen some turnover in our faculty. The resident numbers have been relatively the same. But as the burnout goes up, we're seeing faculty leave earlier. And I know most of the data from emergency medicine, but we're seeing people are not doing 20 to 30 years anymore. They're doing 5 to 10 years and then going into industry or something else because they are feeling overwhelmed or burned out. And that is a problem and a responsibility that we should all take as residency leadership. And I'm glad that the residents are feeling that support, because we want you to leave here invigorated onto a career, a lifelong career of helping your patients in your community. If we do a disservice that a lot of residencies do in different institutions, it's going to affect the community in the long run.
You've both been using the term culture and the term support. What are you doing, Brian, that's making the culture so great here?
Christiana Care is invested in a center for work-life well-being. We have our own full-time residency or sort of like trainee psychologist who meets with the residents regularly. I mean, we have 32 programs. So he'll go program to program. Residents get to reach out for him. He has resources. The majority of institutions do not have that dedicated resource allocation for our trainees.
He's great. He's wonderful. I see him mostly on Thursday conference days. If we're listening to a lecture, everyone stops listening and we turn to Mark. It's such a refreshing feeling to, you know, kind of get away from the academic side. And even if it's 5-10 minutes, get up, go pick up some snacks, converse with your co-residents, with attendings. And then the lectures Mark gives, I wouldn't even say they're lectures. He's just like speaking with us and he's not talking at us.
I love that you said it. Residents want a voice. They want to be heard. And we listen and we try and mold based on what the residents need. And I think a lot of other systems do not do that. For us to have one individual completely dedicated toward learners, because they're a unique set, he listens and he wants the residents to be heard. And he's a liaison with leadership. So we'll meet with him. The residents will meet. I mean, it just creates a really nice, transparent, open communication that I think a lot of systems lack.
I just like cracked a smile just thinking about one thing that Mark did when he came. He brought some Play-Doh and we got like 30 minutes to just mold Play-Doh. Playing with Play-Doh is like something I did in kindergarten. And it's not something I've done since then until Mark came in and brought Play-Doh. And that was such a refreshing thing. The fact that it's been a year now and I'm still thinking about it.
Lastly, Brian, how does resident burnout have a direct impact on patient care?
I think that's a great question. I'll be very interested what Andrew, our current second year, thinks. For me, when I was a resident, or even now, when I'm stressed, I know what it feels like. And then you throw on additional things coming at you, and you're trying to care for a patient at the same time, you lose your edge. You get frustrated. You may miss things. You may mistreat someone. You may not listen to the patient. So overall, unfortunately, patient care suffers when you're not in the right framework. And sometimes excessive burnout and stressful situations can create that. And that's unfortunate. And we learn through emergency medicine, and you're still so young, and I'm interested to see where you are with that. I've learned to temper some of those stressors and just really concentrate on the patient, because they're there for one reason. You're there for a million reasons. So it does negatively impact patient care. And that's why the environment makes a huge difference. And I think that's a win-win for us. But I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
You mentioned some things that I think are more unconscious or unintentional, you know, not listening to the patient, losing your edge. But some things that are a little bit more at the forefront, maybe a little more conscious, you know, it leads to indifference and cynicism and just lack of caring a little bit when there are so many other things that you have to meet a certain quota, you have to document patient encounter a certain way, you have to see this many patients. It leads to you just saying, all right, I get it, on to the next. That's not how it should be. You know, I came in intern year, I would spend so much time with patients and nurses said, don't ever lose that. And even now, just a year later, I've seen that I'm not quite the same. I'm not going to say I've lost it. I just hope it doesn't continue that way as I progress in my career.
Certain specialties, we watch the joy and the bright-eyed, bushy-tail first years come in to care for patients. And then over the course of 3, 4, or 5 years, they become jaded, on edge. They're different people. And you've changed in 1 year. You have to work to avoid that. Mm-hmm. And always remember why you're in medicine. It's to take care of people and what brought you to medicine. And keep that passion. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the burnout will get you.
It sounds like there's good reason for this question and answering it to be something that not just educators, not just residents, but also patients, everyone in the chain should really care about.
We all went into this business for patient care, and that should be the forefront, the beginning and the end of every conversation. Because when you lose that, why are you even doing this? So I think about that every day.
Brian, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time we're recording this on Match Day, which is a huge day for residency programs across the country. Certainly here at ChristianaCare, so we very much appreciate not only you being here, but being here with us on Match Day itself.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
We'll have more information on resident burnout and a little on Match Day in our show notes. Also during our conversation, we mentioned a previous episode on burnout among all healthcare workers. That one's on psychological first aid with Dr. Katie Godfrey. You can find that conversation and many more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
And while you're there, leave us a rating or a review. They go a long way in helping more people to find the show. And before we end today's episode, I do want to share that this is actually going to be my last episode of For the Love of Health.
Michael, it has been an absolute pleasure creating and launching this show with you. Thank you for your dedication to For the Love of Health. We are going to miss you, but we are excited for your next big career move.
Thank you.
To all the listeners, I will still be here in 2 weeks with a new co-host and another great conversation. Until then, thanks for joining us
for the love of health.